Welcome to the 12th Man Podcast, opinionated debate on everything Borough. Let's have it.
Sound the box, Cellino nearly there. Lavandelli, goal! Mark Schwartz is in. Get in, you big Aussie!
Gridwell Boston hasn't finished yet. Kick it!
Good evening. Welcome to the 12th Man Podcast. A bit different because you can see us all wearing it, which is really weird. Live on Facebook. We talk Easter. We talk John's Court. And then we'll talk everything Borough. There's a couple of things we need to go through. So I'm Steve Jackson. I'm in the chair as usual. He's not with me this week, but he's there, because you can see he's all his fur. Mr. John Cutler's there. Evening, Cut.
Evening, chaps.
How are we doing? All right?
Very well, thank you.
Very furry.
Yeah, special just for all the viewers and news for.
got Mr. Jimmy Dalgana with us. Evening, Deli.
Now then, boys, on mute. I had a nightmare with my tech there. No, boys, we are all right.
Yeah, all good.
Well, Mr. John Donovan with us. Evening, John Dan.
Now then, you okay?
Yeah, we're good. How was your weekend?
Busy. Excellent.
Good. We'll talk about your weekend in a couple of minutes. And all the way from up north, keeping an eye on the northern quarter, Mr. Steve Dixon, evening, didn't take up.
Evening, fellas, all right?
Yeah, we're doing good. So, we're going to talk Southampton, we're going to talk season ticket sales, we're going to talk Food Bank, because Food Bank's back on Saturday, behind the North Stand, and we'll talk Sheffield Wednesday, and we'll talk Swansea. So, yeah, a few things to get through, so get your comments in. First one's coming already, Stuart Gawley. Here's John sat in a baby chair. Super. Great start.
I take it he's on about JD, and he's not me.
He's definitely on about you.
Got his romper suit on.
Oh God! Right, before we start, are we all alright?
Yeah, we're good.
Good. Right. No worries. Right, John, Dan, I'll come to you. Southampton. Obviously, we can see the result. We got a brilliant draw down on the south coast. You spent a couple of days down on the south coast, went down Friday, came back Saturday. Tell us about your trip, you know, the joys of Winchester. A cracking performance. Say, once we got into the game, got a good solid point, which, by the way, we all predicted. There's only one person predicted who would score for the Borough. But, and then, you brought home a point which we all were really happy about. Hand over to you.
Well, I mean, it was, it's what we always do every season, have a couple of weekends away, and this one, Good Friday, was planned a while ago. Early start at 5:30 to travel down there, but obviously you set off that time and you know, you miss the vast majority of traffic. And we got into our pub in Southampton for about 12:15, so we had a couple of hours in there, which is great. They looked after us. Beers, killer pole, shots, a lot. And then on to the match. Obviously, team comes out and everybody's a bit, oh God, you know, don't fancy us today.
What did you make of the team when it did come out? You mentioned there, oh God. Obviously, there was a lot of people missing. What did you think of it when you initially saw it?
Well, I was trying to sort of work out who fit in where. And obviously between us, I think, you know, we would have the opinion that he must be playing Johnny House at centre-half. We could see no other way around it. And, you know, we just thought, well, okay, well, we know we're stretched and we're virtually down to bare bones. Let's just go with it. Let's see. I think at that point, a lot of people thought, you know, this is going to be tough. This is, you know, if we can get anything out of this game, then fair play. And as the game progressed, you know, Southampton were on us fairly early, as you would expect. And then they scored from a bit of a misdirected clearance from Johnny Howson. A good finish. Dieng had no chance. It was right in the corner. And you thought, well, this is going to be the start of a long 90 minutes, you know, and we're going to find ourselves under massive, massive pressure. But to be fair, we sort of steadied ourselves. You know, we didn't drop our heads. We steadied ourselves. We were competing well in midfield. And we were pushing them back. We were making some forward moves and we were pushing them back. And obviously we were close to an equaliser when Finneas has struck the post. And, you know, we went in at half time feeling not too despondent because, like I say, conceding early, you fear the worst with a makeshift team. But going in half time, yeah, we were, okay, then let's give it a try, second half. Second half comes, you know, and again, they have us under spells of pressure. Not massively long spells, but just the occasional spell of pressure. I think it was Shea Adams who missed that sitter from about 7 yards out in front of goal. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that he really should have buried that. Dieng made a couple of saves. Clark headed on the floor and then followed up with an angle block to keep the scoreline at 1-0. But we were creating a few chances second half. I said to my mate next to me, you're never out of it at 1-0. You're still in the game. It only needs one decent chance. And anyway, we had a few actually. That Aelath had a one-on-one that he hit straight at the keeper. And then 90 minutes after Gilbert had come on, he floated in across. Lath was in between the two defenders and he put some power on it and he placed it really well. And the away end went absolutely mental. It was superb. It felt so good. You know, it felt like a win because, like I say, we'd conceded early. We were all fearing, well, the majority were fearing the worst. And then as the second half progressed, you know, we got a bit of wind in our sails. The fans were good and supportive behind the team. And that equaliser just sent everybody crackers. It was superb. And we held on. We had a chance after 1-1, but we obviously didn't take that. And everybody was over the moon with the final result. Players and managers, management come over, applauded the fans. The fans were singing, and it was it felt really good. It felt really good. It felt like a win.
I mean, you mentioned there, you know, that's something I noticed when I watched back. You know, as the game went on, as they were missing their chances. I mean, we've been on many away days where we've been 1-0 down. We've got to that point, and you think, well, actually, we could nick something here. And you could feel it from the away end because it just got louder and louder and louder. And I mean, just to talk about the away end itself, I mean, just under 2,000 hitting the South Coast on Good Friday. I mean, that's a hell of a turnout, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's superb. I mean, you know, a dead game, really. I know we've still got a very slim chance of the playoffs, but by and large, it was a dead game for us. And to take, like you say, 1,800 fans down there who gave the team absolutely superb support, even when for most of the game we were 1-0 down. It was great, and you're right in what you said. You know, as the game progressed, there was more and more optimism creeping in to Borough fans, you know, thinking, you know, we're creating chances here. We might get one of these, and it turned out that we did.
Well, yeah, it was. I said the noise from the away end was class. The people jumping all over the shop. I said, just reminds me of the amount of times I've knocked you to the floor and all sorts in the away end. I thought he's definitely on the floor somewhere. Yeah, absolutely. But mega celebrations and massive, you know, due reward for the travel that people put in, because in some people went down on the Thursday and the travel down on Thursday was quite horrendous as well. So yeah, massive hats off to anybody that took it. And could talk quickly come to you, because you said Latte Laughing 1-1. You can put your smug face on now.
I'll just give myself a pat on the back, the resident expert. Yeah. it's another 30 odd quid towards our charity bet total at the end of the season. We're all doing really well between us, and like we say, there's going to be some charities benefiting at the end of the year. So it was a great header, to be fair. That he misses a few chances, but for me, he misses them when he seems to have plenty of time on the ball and you think he should score. But that was sort of an instinctive edit. It was a great finish and fair play to the lad. I like him, mate. I think we're only going to see better and better from him next season.
It was one of those headers where you had to put some power onto it. It wasn't just a glancing header. The power wasn't in the cross. He had to sort of put, you know, stretch his neck, put some real power and direction into that header. And like I say, when it went in, oh, man, fantastic. Loved it. I love last minute, me. I love last minute goals. Fantastic.
I know. It's funny you mentioned that, Cuts, there about, I say, when he thinks about it, he's got, you know, he tends to miss his chances. I mean, Ryan Elliott's got in touch and said, can't remember where I saw it, but I saw someone say, if you don't give Latte a chance to think, he scores. It seems so true. His instincts are really, really good. You know, once he does something, you know, off the cuff, he scores. 9 times out of 10. But if you give him a bit of time to think about it, like, I mean, we'll go on to it. You know, a couple of one-on-ones he had yesterday, we had time to think, and he didn't get the target. But they say that header, like you said, is an absolute cracker.
He reminds me, to be honest, it's not just his goal scoring, is it? He absolutely works his socks off for 90 minutes. He reminds me a bit of Duncan Watmore, but this might sound a bit unfair on Duncan, but a better version of Duncan Watmore. His work rate across that line is really, really good. And let's be honest, for the bulk of the game on Friday, we were chasing the ball, but he didn't stop. I thought he put in a really good performance.
He really did.
Yeah, at 1-0 down, we were pressing them all the time. You know, that the urgency and the sort of desire to get back into the game, it was there, it was evident. We were closing them down and forcing them into losing the ball, like teams have done to us in the past.
Exactly. I said, you know, we saw that as, you know, well, we know that's our weakness. It's, you know, it's possibly Southampton's weakness. And it's sure, to be honest, because when we did put the pressure on, they did seem to, I say, flap a little bit and make some mistakes at the back. So it did really did benefit us. I say it was a massive point. Really, really good point. And, you know, I'll let you do the honours, John Don, with you being down there and being part of the magnificent support that was down there. Who was your man of the match for Friday?
I thought Matt Clark and Johnny Howson were superb, but I'm going to give it to Johnny Howson. I know he was at fault for his slicing his clearance for their goal, but other than that, his experience was absolutely vital, and his composure. He was excellent. I was really impressed with him, you know. He doesn't play there very often. I know he's played there in the past, but it's not his regular position. And he was superb.
He's a proper captain, isn't he? He leads by example. So, you know, we've got no other centre-back. You know, Matt Clark's the only fit centre-back at the club. And it doesn't seem to be a problem that he's just happy to play. You know, when go back under Woodgate when we had no right-back and he played half a season at right-back and he just seems to get on with it. But it's good to see a player like that leading by example on the pitch.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, massively, massively. You know, even if he is a bit too old, but no, he's brilliant. You know, I can't talk highly enough of Johnny Howson. I really can't. I mean, I'm going to mention him a little bit later when we talk about the Sheffield Wednesday game, because I thought he was superb on yesterday in that game as well. So
is nobody else a little bit surprised that Dykesdale's not getting a little bit of a run at centre half? Because
no.
I think it was under Wilde the way he played. I know it was mainly in a 3 or a 5 or whatever you want to call it, but he looked pretty good at centre half for me. I'm a little bit surprised he hasn't got any minutes with the current injury situation.
I think he's always got a card in him, hasn't he? Sometimes a bit clumsy.
He does, like, I love backing him, I'm not going to lie.
Listen, I'm his biggest fan on here, and I think it's clear to see now his days are numbered at Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He's been very unlucky at times with injury. When he's had an opportunity, he's been sent off. Things like that haven't went for him. But Michael Carrick, through his whole time being here, Michael Carrick has never really fancied him. He's never given him a run of games. He's preferred everybody ahead of him. And at the moment, when we're so, you know, low on options in defence, at right back, at centre back, and he still won't put him in. He puts him on for 5-10 minute cameos. But at the moment, when you're playing a 36-year-old midfielder in a back three ahead of Dijksteel, you know he's not fancied. Let's be honest, he won't be here next season. I do like him. I do rate him. I do think he's better than some of our current squad. But, you know, at the end of the day, Michael Carrick's the boss. It's his decision. And if he thinks he's not good enough moving forward, then so be it. Now, to back Carrick up on that, the last two performances against Sheffield Wednesday and Southampton, the defence has done remarkably well. The players that have come in have stepped up. And that's what I like about this squad. With the injuries we've got, it would be so easy for players just to wilt and disappear and use the injury situation as an excuse and almost be on the beach with the flip-flops on. But they're not. The players that are coming in, whether it be, as you say, Johnny Howson dropping in, Matt Clark being the only fit centre-half, Finn Azaz coming in the team, O'Brien coming in the team with a little bit of a run. They've all sort of stepped up. And without being fantastic, I think they've all contributed and done well. So, you know, hats off to all the players and Michael Carrick, because I think they would this season they've had every excuse possible just to go under. And they haven't. They've kept going. And if we can end the season on a little bit of a run and flirt with the playoffs, I think it's a really good achievement for the situation we're in.
Absolutely. We're going about our business quietly. Even Sky have not got us on the radar now, so we're just getting on with our job now, and I think that's probably helping the squad, which is really good. Great point at Southampton, like we were saying. Before I go on to season card sales, everybody seems to be picking on you on the comments, Cuts. I'm so sorry.
Either way,
Sharon's now got in touch. So he said, sorry I'm late, firstly. And said, is John Cutler smashed? What's he laid out for?
Hey, tell you what, Sharon, you'd love to be inside of this with me.
Inside the velvet house coat.
I was on about comfort, nothing else, just comfort.
Yeah, but we're just thinking of the angle she'd be sat at if that's the angle she's looking down at. So, yeah, but we'll move on. I need to move this on quick before I
get that clipped, Steve.
Yeah, I will clip that. She's come back and said, Jesus Christ. So, you know, check that out.
It is that time of year.
Yeah. You can take that anywhere you want.
Yeah, this has got to be called the Velvet House Court.
Right, so... The reason I want to talk about season card sales, because the number came out. Sorry, Stuart Gall, is he called John Hefner?
It's funny you should mention that someone else did it in a group chat earlier.
Oh, God. That came out of a group chat about 2 hours ago, Stuart. So I'm glad you mentioned it. Oh, God, I'm torn between names now. Right. So season card sales, I'll get it back on track. So the number came out between these two fixtures. I'll come back to you again, John Don, because, you know, you were part of the discussions that got the, the pay in full that people have took up. Say 17,000 season ticket sales, which, by the way, considering there was a lot of uproar about the price rise and not enough notice given, it's fantastic. But 4,000 took up the option to pay in full. So it shows, you know, with the club listening and giving that option, it's helped a lot of people put, I suppose, pen to paper and getting that season ticket paid for, ready for next season, which gives us more bums on seats.
Yeah, I think the club are very, very pleased with the numbers so far, and the fact that the four payment scheme has been so widely used, and I think that's enabled the numbers to be as high as they are. Just let me say, I mean, I want people to know that we were against any price rise. We said we didn't want a price rise, but you know, the club have their overheads, they have their figures, they know what they need to do to make the club sustainable and still have a fighting chance in the transfer market to challenge next season. We resisted as much as we could, and we said we didn't want a price rise. Then the club made their announcement. The deadline was too short. The fact that there was no option to pay in monthly instalments wasn't there. We went back to them. We chatted again. Not just 12th Man, there's other groups involved, Red Faction, Middlesbrough Supporters Forum, contributors. And we got the concessions that we could. Again, with regard to the payment scheme, I would have liked it over 12 months, or at least over four. It's enabled people to maybe budget a little bit better, so they weren't hit with a lump sum payment. And we got the deadline moved so that at least people had two paydays to try and save up for it. So we'll keep talking to the club. We'll keep pushing issues. It's not just about ticketing, but concourse issues, retail issues, you know, ideas going forward. We're always chatting to the club, and like I say, we can make some wins, we can make some gains, but they're not going to do everything that we want. But we'll keep on at them. But I was really pleased with the numbers, that numbers of fans that have renewed, and I hope, you know, that come the start of the season, next season, that'll have jumped up to in the 20,000, 21, 22 possibly. And, you know, we average as many at home to give the team the support they deserve as we have this season.
Yeah, absolutely. As I say, you know, the best thing, the good thing about that paying for, as I say, I paid all mine in one go, but I did look at the option. You did have the variable of how much you wanted to put forward. So you made the other three payments, you know, as affordable as you wanted it to be for the next 3 months, which is really good. You know, if you had like a good chunk of it now, then they say it was good for the 3 months. But it was, you know, it was superb. You know, Taff just got in touch as well, said, you know, it's good. You know, whoever did the PR when it came to the season cards was shocking. We said that straight away. But you know, they're glad they've listened to the fans to move the deadline. But that's the thing. You know, we pushed for straight away. You know, we couldn't expect fans to give them 4 weeks' notice to bring £500 out of nowhere. So it's really good that they, you know, they got everything sorted. And
be interesting to see what lessons are learned. You know, this time next year, you know, I think they're probably in the pudding. Then is if the club took everything on board, or are they going to put the crash helmets on it again? And are we going to go through it all again? You know, payment schemes that you've just talked about, is the, you know, the letter for, or the email for the message going out for season tickets, is that going to be a bit early to give you that extra payday? If the club want the money in by April, for the end of the tax year, or for the end of the year accounts and stuff, then that's fine, but they need to let us know early on. They need to give people that time to prep and just at least say thank you. But like I say, we won't know for another, you know, 8 to 12 months if we're going to, you know, if lessons have been learned through that.
I hope they have, Dally, because if only they'd have ran past us their proposals beforehand, we could have helped them avoid such a bit of a car crash, to be honest. We could have said, oh, hang on, you know, that's awful. What you're sending out there is awful. We might have helped them avoid that, but unfortunately, we had to deal with it after the announcement and the damage was done then, you know. So I'm hoping that there has been lessons learned.
Well, we have spoke to the club, John, since then regarding the dialogue from emails and how it could have been put to the fans better and more appreciative. And we have sent the club, as you know, different examples of different emails from different clubs on how to send fans, you know, better worded statements. So I think the club will have took that on. And like you say, we don't know that now, but in 12 months, I'm sure the club have listened. They're not going to get it right all the time. There's one thing I was going to say to John Don, is, you know, it's fantastic the numbers we've got, but the facts remain, the season ticket sales have still gone down, as good as they are. So it's not, to me, it's not a massive plus. It's a massive plus on behalf of how loyal the supporters are, but the cards have still gone down. Now, last season, the club decided to take the opportunity to remove the half-season tickets at Christmas and try to get as many people in the summer as possible. I'm just wondering, as we're moving forward with dialogue towards Middlesbrough Football Club, that this might be a better time to reintroduce that for this year, to put the half-season tickets back on, to try and boost the numbers. If we're hopefully in a promotion race come December time, that looking to put that back on for supporters would be a good idea. So I'd like to think the club would listen on that one and bring that back in, because most years, you know, we'll get 1,500 extra season ticket holders at Christmas time, and it just boosts the number at a really important time of the season for the team.
I totally agree with you 100%, and that's something that we raised with the club when they were withdrawn last autumn. When it was announced that they wouldn't be doing half-season ticket cards. We had dialogues with the club to try and find out answers as to why, and we thought it was a bad idea. So I'm hoping, you know, with continued dialogue right through up until just before Christmas of this year, that there'll be a change of heart. What we have to do, you know, we have to give them evidence, give them reasoning behind why it's favourable for the club, and we will do that. You know, that there's people sort of doing research now from what other clubs offer, so we'll be able to go back to them, hopefully with some solid facts, figures, and information, and hopefully we can overturn the decision from last Christmas.
A couple of points on that. I think Steve is head of the club, so he's the one who gets a lot of the flack, and he has done in recent weeks. I think Steve's always said, hasn't he, if fans or fan groups put something forward that he thinks is viable for fans and for the club as well, he's only too willing to do it and listen to ideas. He's proved that in the past. I think the season ticket at Christmas, when they sacked that off, that was a bad move. But I think when Steve said there about the season tickets being down, they are down. But if you look at us this time last season, we were absolutely flying, scoring goals left, right and centre. We had another £50-60 million worth of talent in the squad, albeit loans. And there was still a very, very real chance of us being in the Premier League. I'm very impressed with the season ticket sales we've got this season, considering some of the football we've watched at home. I think it's a really impressive amount, and it's exceeded what I actually thought we were going to get.
Yeah, I totally agree, John. And the number, I'm not saying the numbers aren't good. I think the numbers are fantastic, by the way. Yeah. Superb. But the fact of the matter is, regardless, they're down on what they were. Now, yes, some of the reason can be this season we haven't had quite as good a season as last season. But we're not a million miles off. I mean, we're still within a small chance of the playoffs. Highly unlikely, I know. But, you know, considering the injuries we've had this season, it hasn't been a complete disaster. We got to a semi-final of a cup, which was a fantastic achievement. So it hasn't been a real disaster season. And the fact that they've gone down, to me, if it was me running the football club, would still be a concern. I know season ticket holders that have not renewed, who've been going for years, and they've seen far worse football, and I've spoke to them, than what they're watching this season over the last 10 years. We've seen far worse seasons than this. And the reason is purely finance. So it might only sound a small rise to some, and people who want to look, you know, luxurious position to be able to afford them, like myself, to be fair. But to some people, that those rises are just the straw that broke the camel's back. And you don't want to lose these season ticket holders that have been going for years. So, yeah,
I agree.
The sales are good, but I think, like Dali said, I think there'll be lessons learned. And I think moving forward in 12 months' time, I'm sure there'll be more dialogue with the fan groups. And hopefully, like John says, they'll reconsider bringing back in the half-season tickets. And hopefully we won't be too far away from what we had last season.
I mean, you came up with some stats last week, didn't you, about us having a real go in the summer? So if we do have a real go in the summer, it wouldn't surprise me if we at least match the season ticket sales from last season. We've still got to remember, it's still only the early bird and it's £60 more to pay if you're going to get a season ticket in a few weeks. I reckon there'll be a few fans that still could be persuaded by the business that the club's going to do, hopefully, in the summer. So I'm still pretty confident that we'll reach similar levels to last season, to be fair.
100%. Well, you bring in two marquee signings, you know, a championship level, two really good signings. Absolutely, that would massively help.
Yeah.
Fans are fans. Fans get taken in by, you know, when the club show ambition, they think, wow, brought in these players, you know, get them players back from injury. We're going to have a real good go at next season. Stuff it. I know. I said I wasn't going to renew, but I'll just pay the extra £60 now. I don't want to miss out on this.
Yeah.
Of course, that happens in football, and I agree. And that's what we want to happen, isn't it? Let's be honest. All of us want that in the summer to see that little bit extra ambition, that little bit extra quality coming in, that little bit stardust to go with what we've got. And next season, I think it could be really exciting.
Well, listen, I agree with everything you say. And when I go to these meetings, I'm a fan. So I'm affected by prices. I'm affected by queues on the concourse. I'm affected by poor stock in the retail shops. Everything that every other fan goes through, I'm affected exactly the same. So I'm putting the points across. You know, people might say that the club are just ticking boxes. They don't really know. They're speculating because we can get everything we want. But we've exerted a little bit of, shall we say, not fan pressure, but we've exerted some sort of pressure that's allowed changes to be made and concessions to be made from their initial announcements. And we'll keep on doing that. We're not going to win every battle, but do you know what? We'll continue to argue for the fans, because that's exactly what I am, exactly what you lads are. We are fans. We're affected by everything. You know, we don't get free tickets like some clowns on Twitter try to portray. You know that you know, Gibbo's given free tickets. It's a load of crap. But anyway, some people are gullible, aren't they? Anyway, come on.
People do talk about the
Bertha
kit, so
Barry White,
and various other celebrities.
Yes, we don't align to a certain celebrity, but I do remember the one thing I wanted to mention before Chef Wednesday. Cuts, I'll come to you because you put a status about it on Twitter. The new badge. Club are going to be talking to the fans about a new badge for the 150th year anniversary. A lot of people do forget that we are 150 years old, so that is coming up. And they say the club are going out and putting a new badge and going to be talking to various supporters groups and want the best ideas coming. And you put your idea straight out there, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I can't think of the names of the various Twitter accounts that have actually made some up already, and I'm really impressed with some of them, and I hope the club get to see these and involve some of these guys who were good on that side of, and maybe, I don't know, get it down to four and do like what we used to do with kits and let the fans decide, because I'm sure someone mentioned before that, I don't know if it was when we were in a meeting, but Steve was never that happy with the current badge that we've got. Obviously, he was in discussions with other people who obviously liked it, and I think Steve didn't particularly like it, and I'm not a massive fan of it. Some of the retro badges that I've seen that have been done, or even going back to something maybe back from in the day, the Eremus badges and all that kind of thing. I'm really impressed with some of them. And I would like to see the club put maybe four up and say, right, we'll let the fans decide on various social network accounts, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or, I don't know, putting some boxes outside the stadium and letting fans decide. I think that'd be a good thing publicly for them to do.
The true story regarding the badge with Steve Gibson was when we played Sevilla in the 2006 UEFA Cup final. He was in the box with the Sevilla chairman, and he commented to Steve Gibson saying how impressed he was that a club that was only formed in 1986 had got itself to a UEFA Cup European final. And Gibson was a little bit hurt by that because obviously Middlesbrough's heritage goes back to 1876. And that was his thought process in changing the badge from the old one to the one we've got now. In hindsight, for me, it should have been a simple process of just changing the 1986 to 1876 because I love the old badge. It's fantastic for me and far better than the badge we've got now. I understand the club wanting to do something dramatic for the 150th year anniversary. I understand that it's a big deal for any football club to make 150 years. But for me, the cost is going to, you know, to change your badge is going to cost a lot of money. And me personally, I think there's better things we could be spending it on. Me personally, I'd rather see the seats in the stadium get renewed, things like that. The concourses uplifted, the toilets in the concourses uplifted to a better standard because the ground's looking a little bit tired. But the club want to change the badge. You know, yeah, fair enough for me, but I don't think that should be, in my opinion, top of the priority.
I think they're between a rock and a hard place with it, and I think if the other clubs have done it, haven't they? You know, you look at Swansea recently; they changed their badge for a season, and it's one of those that don't do anything; they get criticised. They do something, obviously, like you said there, that you know we've just had the season ticket increase, and you know nobody wanted to see that. And you look at it on one hand, and you think, okay, they've increased the season ticket, but then they're going to change the badge. Where's that going to go with the rebranding? It depends how far they take it. Do they just change the badge on the shirt and everything else just for one season, and they still use the normal badge on ticketing, on you know whatever it is that whatever else that they use, you know the communications, but I think from a retro point of view, to celebrate. I think it's, you know, it's appealing, but I do get the feeling that, you know, as you mentioned there, could they spend the money in another way, get the tickets cheaper? You know, it's, you could go around in circles with it.
Yeah. Well, I've already, I've submitted my design. It's the Eremus Lion in a velvet house coat, vaping.
I like the way you think it's a velvet house coat. It's just a pyjama over the top, man. They're available from pre-market. Get yourself down there and get them the night and cheap.
No. They've told us in your local Bells what it is when you take it out.
A house coat. Nicholas mentioned about looks. He's lucky enough to have luxurious whatever background and being able to pay for his ticket. And you're saying I'm in a house coat. People are going to be turning off in the droves. You think we're a bunch of snobs?
And have John Hefner, bottom and top of the badge. John Hefner in the middle, the line in the smoking jacket.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what, the merchandise had fly out.
Mate, you could have gone for it. You could have gone for an Asda special, a Matalan special. You went with the velvet.
Well, you can have a Christmas special, you know. You can buy Rob Vandenberg pyjamas and John Hefner's house coat in a two for one.
If you think it's impressive now, what about now?
If you contact the 12th man, you can get a discount.
It's gone from Hefner to Yoda. How have you done that?
There you go.
But yes, other stars are available. You know, we don't align to one, so please shop around. And by the way, I'm not voting for anything unless Christian Karrenbauer's wife is modelling it. You know, I'll take me back to the old days. That's where
she might be a bit ropey now, you know. That's 20 years ago.
She won't be.
You reckon? Yeah.
I don't know.
She might be a bit ropey, but I haven't seen her in the pig iron.
I haven't rang her for a while, so I'll have a look.
John, is she in the background? At the Playboy Mansion.
She loves this house quote, I tell you that.
And you're rooming it apparently for the variant. Right. Get back to football matters. Jesus God. I've lost control of it. Right, Sheffield Wednesday yesterday. Daddy, I'll come to you. You usually go for the 1-1, as we all know, but you were quite confident and put yourself forward and said we'd win.
Yeah, first one of the season.
But we all went into it and thought, Borough unbeaten in 5, Sheffield Wednesday haven't won in 3. We all know what's coming. But when you push that aside and take the typical Borough thing out of it, it was a game that we simply couldn't take anything less than 3 points away from, could we?
No, I think they're down there for a reason. I know they've given it a bit of a fight back, but I prayed that we didn't have deja vu of the reverse fixture. That's one of the worst games of football we'll have ever seen. And I think we had to put a stamp on the game yesterday, and make sure we got the result to kind of try and put that to bed a little bit. I know I bumped into Dick when he told me the team beforehand. And when you hear that we hadn't got any of the injuries back, you do think, oh, right, okay. I wasn't as clued up on the Sheffield Wednesday team, but you think, oh, I hope that doesn't give them, that air of confidence that, yeah, okay, we got a draw at the weekend, but, Southampton did create a lot of chances and they'll have the same opportunities. But yeah, it was job done. Johnny Howson was brilliant. A good couple of goals, and they petered out, didn't they? They weren't particularly great.
No, I say I know they produced one save from Dieng, which is an absolute cracker. To be fair, I say we're right behind that. But Dick, I'll come to you. Actually, before I come to you, one for you, Cuts. Cash got in touch. I don't know why they're all laughing at you, because I'm wearing my house coat as well. So there you go. You've got a fan.
At least two of us have got style, Cass. Coming next week, everyone dressed in a house coat. That's what's going to happen.
I'm not going to that studio in a house coat. Right. I'll come to you, Dicko, because obviously we had a chat before kickoff as well. I know there's none of the injured players back, but one bonus for me, because Isaiah Jones went off injured on Friday, he kept his place. So luckily, it was only just a knock that took him off on Saturday, but he got brought straight back in to start again on Monday. So that was, for me, a big bonus and something we much needed before the game.
Yeah, I was pleased to see Isaiah Jones on the team. I didn't expect him to play, actually, so that was a bonus for me. I was a bit perplexed, Luke Thomas coming in for Engel, but yeah. What I had forgot, which somebody kindly reminded us, was Engel had a nightmare at Sheffield Wednesday away, if you remember. And the lad that was roasting him down there was in the Sheffield Wednesday team Monday. So I kind of understood it. It was taking Engel out the firing line and giving Luke Thomas another opportunity to show what he can do. So I wasn't too unhappy, because Southampton game gave me a little bit of confidence. The team was the same apart from Engel. And my take was, well, if we can do okay at Southampton, at home to Sheffield Wednesday, we should still have enough to get the job done. And all I've read since the game's been finished is how poor Sheffield Wednesday were. Sheffield Wednesday are going down, blah, blah, blah. I actually thought Middlesbrough played fairly well on Monday. I thought they'd done well. I thought first half was a little bit scrappy, but we were the better side and we got the lead. But I thought second half, we were quite impressive right from the kickoff. We pressed them, we're at them, we created lots of chances, we're getting the ball wide, getting crosses in the box. And yeah, Sheffield Wednesday aren't a good side, and they are where they are for a reason. But if you look at the bottom half of the Championship, Middlesbrough have only beaten 2 sides in the bottom half of the Championship. You go from 12th to 24th. Middlesbrough have only beaten 2 sides in the bottom half of the league. So it's not like we'll rock up and beat these sides week in, week out, because we're a better side than them. We tend to struggle in these games. And I thought Middlesbrough deserved a little bit more credit than they've got, because I thought second half we were streets ahead of Sheffield Wednesday. 2-0 flattered them. I thought Middlesbrough if we had a won 3-1, 4-1, 3-0, would have been a better reflection on the game. We missed the penalty, which was ridiculous. I have to mention that. You know, for me, Greenwood, for me, was a selfish act. That was him going, I'm having a bad time. I need to get some limelight. I'm taking the ball and I'm going to try and score a goal, which was the complete wrong thing to do. We've got Izaz, who's a penalty taker. We've got Latialat, who's a penalty taker, who are both in better confident moods than he is. He shouldn't have been grabbing the ball off Latialat. So that was disappointing for me. But I thought there was a lot of positives on Saturday. And now moving forward to Swansea with the great news that Hackney's going to be coming back. Vandenberg's coming back. Bangura's back in training. I'm pretty happy with my football club at the moment, and I thought they deserved a little bit more credit on Monday.
I take into account what you said about Greenwood there, but on the other hand, he hasn't had the best of times recently, but it showed a bit of hunger and him trying to get himself back to where he knows he can get. Fair play to him for me for saying, no, I'm going to get the ball. I'm going to try and get myself a goal and maybe lead myself into a run and pushing a club into the playoffs. So I'm not going to criticise him for grabbing the ball, like, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Cuts. I think if he scores that and he ends up gaining that bit of confidence that, you know, maybe he needs. For me, Greenwood, I think he's been affected by our injuries probably the most as an individual player because of the players around him. I think when you look, if you think back to, you know, when we beat Sunderland and he was brilliant that day, he had the likes of Bangura, Laff, Jones, he had them all firing. I know we've got Jones and Laff in the team, but we had the likes of, you know, McGree didn't play that day, we had Crooks, and we had some good players around him that day and in that period. And the injuries, he's ended up being playing as that lone striker when he needs support around him. So a goal might have done him the world of good. Do I think we'll keep him? No, I don't think we'll keep him. I think, yeah, there's the £1.5 million rumoured fee, but I'm pretty sure Kieran Scott said to us that, you know, if Leeds get promoted, he's a Premier League player then, technically under his contract, and his wage goes up. So I don't think he'll be here next season. But I think maybe his goal might have given him the confidence that he needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Pull you up on your stat there, Dicko. You did mean two wins at home, didn't you?
Yeah.
That counted about eight there. But that's fine. No problem at all. But no, you're absolutely right. You know, people don't give us enough credit for how much we controlled the game. Yesterday, I thought we were very much in control. There was no points where I thought they could actually score here. But, you know, I think most people are just going to call a spade, aren't they? You know, Sheffield Wednesday were rank bad. They were bad. I mean, for me, yes, it was a 2-0 victory. And, you know, I've got nothing to complain about. I just wish we'd scored that second goal a little bit sooner. There was always that moment where you think, the longer this goes 1-0, the longer the nerves kick in, the longer we think, oh God, they're actually going to equalise here. But luckily that second goal came. But as I say, we mentioned it, John Don. I know Evan gone down is his goal. I haven't seen it up close again. But another instance where Latialat got in the right place and it seems to have made the effect to get that first goal. And it's gone down as own goal. But he's got in the right place again, hasn't he, Latialat? And he's made an impact for that first goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean the game yesterday was they started very bright. First 10 minutes, I think they were wanting to see if they could score quickly, silence the crowd, and get a foothold in the game. But they just weren't very good. Like you say, the first 10 minutes. The pressed us hard. They were hungry, but you could tell, you know, that their confidence is absolutely shot. It's the worst game I've seen Barry Bannon play. He's normally a very good player at this level, and he's one of those players that just catches your eye when he plays against the Borough. But he had a very poor game yesterday. I know it was nip and tuck whether he would start the game due to fitness, but he did start, but it wasn't his best game by any stretch of the imagination. But I thought overall, you know, we were comfortable. We looked good. We were good in possession. We were patient. We successfully played it out from the back. We didn't get caught doing that. It turned out to be a comfortable afternoon. I agree with you, Steve. I thought we deserved to get a second goal within the first 10 to 15 minutes of the second half, because we really come out after the break having a right go at them. And if we'd scored then, you know, it could have even been a more comfortable scoreline. But I was happy with 2-0. I was pleased. And like I say, 14 points out of the last 18. With all the problems at the club with injuries, I think that's pretty good.
John, just with the injuries, I know that it might be you, Dick, or that shared it maybe on Twitter or in the group chat with something that, is it Dominic Shaw had tweeted? The starting 11 of injuries that we've got, and you look and you think, on paper, I'll have a starting 11. Like, you know, you'd be happy with that starting 11, you know, turning out on a Saturday. I don't think I've ever known it in my lifetime. I don't think I've ever known a season where we've had this many injuries at one point. There must be something in the background that's going on, whether it's a training method. I'd seen somewhere someone had mentioned they've got a new pitch at the training ground. There must be something in the background that's going on for us to have this many injuries.
I don't know that the club are looking in as to why they've got so many injuries. Because, Gibbo's said it. Gibbo's said that, it's unusual. They're looking into all the methods of whether it's the conditioning or whether it's the fitness coaches, the medical staff. They're looking at all things to try and pinpoint if there's anything that has caused so many injuries. But you're right in what you say, Dally. All the training pitches and match pitches at Rockcliffe were relayed.
But with tarmac. So,
aggregate. There might be something there, you know, whether or not the pitches are too firm, too soft. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But I do know that that the club are looking into the reasons behind the number of injuries.
I mean, going back to the game a little bit there, I actually agree with Steve. I thought second half especially, I think we've started to move the ball a little bit quicker in forward areas. I thought Finn Azaz showed glimpses of what he was all about yesterday with a few through balls and what have you. I thought we played pretty well, to be fair, second half. And although we got one penalty, for me, we should have had another two. Because that foul on O'Brien was 100% a penalty for me. And I think there was another handball where his hands were by his side. They were up in the air. So definitely. I think we had another two penalties. And within 5 minutes of the second half starting, Latilath could have had another couple more goals. I was quite impressed with the performance, to be fair. And although Steve mentioned it earlier about Dieng's save of the season for me, that was absolutely outstanding save. And at that time, it would have been it would have brought them right back into the game. It was an outstanding save.
It was one of the clear openings that they got in the second half, because I know they pushed a little bit at times, but they didn't really massively threaten. But apart from that shot, I'd say as soon as that shot went, it'd say us lads where we are in block 23, we were right behind it, and it was a great hand that Dieng got to it, unbelievable save. But I mean, to go back to that, I didn't interrupt it, no. I thought I interrupted someone, sorry. So going back to that tweet that Dom did, obviously, the team that you put out, I mean, if I'm going to read this 11 out, and you know, 5-3-2, right? Glover, Smith, Vandenberg, Fry, Lenihan, Bangura, McNair, Hackney, McGree, Force, Colburn. You take that on a match day?
It's stronger than the team that played on Monday.
It's ridiculous, that. You know what I mean? You've got other teams complaining and moaning. They've got this injury, that injury, and whatever. Just pull our injury list out. We've had, I'd say an average since maybe November of 11 players out injured at a time. That's unheard of. It's, let's say, I don't know what's happened. I say I'm glad it's something that's been looked at because I've never known a season like it. I really haven't. It's crippled us. Absolutely crippled us. But well, it was a good second half. It was a really good second half. Let's say credit to Michael Carrick as well for that, because he must have said something at half time to say, you know, step up by, a little bit quicker, you know, with the tempo, with the passing. And Sheffield Wednesday couldn't live with us, and they couldn't live with the speed of, you know, with, you know, being brutal. They looked a League One team yesterday, and that's exactly where they're probably going to end up.
I think it was refreshing as well to see an opposition manager come out and actually say, I think he said in a press conference, their manager, that the only surprise to him was that it was only 2-0, because more or less we absolutely battered them, and if they keep playing like that, they'll go down. But at the end of the day, you can only beat what's in front of you. And so I'll give them all the credit for the performance yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. John,
sorry, go ahead. Can you get any more horizontal? You're going to be upside down soon. There he goes, yeah.
With his house closed.
I thought the Sheffield Wed fans were credit to the club yesterday. Oh, they were very good support. But, and again, nearly 28,000 in the Riverside, you know, which was, I know the season's still got, we're still flirting with the playoffs, but like John was saying about the Southampton game, and, you know, we're probably not going to make it. So to be getting 28,000 nearly in the Riverside again for, you know, almost a dead rubber is credit to Middlesbrough. But I'd like to give the Sheffield Wednesday fans a little bit of credit, because I thought they turned up in good numbers and good voice.
I know the bulk of us have said last week, and we've repeated it a few times this week, that the chance of us getting in the playoffs are slim. But if Ipswich can beat Norwich and we beat Swansea on Saturday, 3 points, I tell you what, this podcast next Monday will be a lot different than it has been the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Will you be on without the house court on?
I'll wear it.
The matching slippers, matching house shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
John's lucky house court.
Seriously,
if we beat Hull and Leeds, he'll be on any speedos.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't go that far.
Johnny Housecourt.
No, if he does wear it, I can't wait to see what Bernie Slavin says about him wearing that housecourt. I wonder if he'll be taking him up on the option of trying to buy himself one. But
if I put a Smith's badge on it, he'll love it.
Yeah, for the badging. But no, you know, I know I've criticised Sheffield Wednesday a little bit there, but his boys are absolutely right. You know, you can only be what's in front of you. And we were professional yesterday. You know, the only thing I would say is we should have won by a lot more. But you take 2-0, because it takes us up to ninth. You know, we're up to ninth in the table. We're, like you said, 6 points off, unbeaten in six. A few whispers have started again. But, you know, you just got to take one game at a time, haven't you? You know, don't get too excited. You know, it's been mentioned, you know, all the, you know, the players and the staff have all said, we'll just keep going until we can't. That's what we can do, isn't it, really? You can't really ask for much more. But, you know, I must have said something to Jamie because he's gone. I'll come to your man of the matches then. John, I'll start with you. Who's your man of the match for yesterday?
Well, I told you this in the stand, O'Brien, for me. There was a couple of others running very, very close, but I just thought O'Brien was all over the pitch. He looked like he was enjoying himself. He was pushing forward. He was starting attacks from picking the ball up from the keeper or the defence, turning and going. I just thought he had a great game. So he was my man of the match.
Yeah. We've obviously said something with Dali because he's gone. But Dicko, come to you. Your man of the match for yesterday?
I agree with John. I thought O'Brien had a really good game, probably his best in a Borough shirt. I've seen some quotes, Middlesbrough fans wanting to sign him for £4 and £5 million. He's going to have to do a lot more for me to pay £4 or £5 million for him. I think he's a decent player and he's got better forward. But if we can get him on loan again, or, you know, £1 million, £1.5 million, do a deal with Forrest, yeah, I would take him next season. But if you're talking £4 or £5 million for me, I'm sorry, I wouldn't be signing him. as well as he played yesterday. But I would go for yesterday, Johnny Howson. Funny enough, I thought he had a really good game yesterday, Johnny. Playing out of position again, I thought he broke well into the midfield, defended well, as did Matt Clark. I thought there was some, for once we had four or five players up for man of the match yesterday. We had four or five players, so there's 7-8 out of tens. But I would just say Johnny Howson pipped O'Brien and Clark.
But
yeah, the lads have mentioned a couple of players that did well there. And although I'm not going to give him man the match, I think his performances in the last few months since he came back from injury have been exceptional. I think Matt Clark was really good again, and I think he was good at Southampton. But I'm going to give it to a player who's had a lot of stick. I thought Barlasser had a decent game. I thought he spread the ball really well with some long passes, opened up the game. So, like you say, he's had a lot of stick. I'm going to give it to Barlasser.
Fair enough. I mean, I told John Donman in the stands, I thought Johnny Howson was superb. You know, another game where he's been asked to play a position where he's, you know, he's not most natural at, and you wouldn't even have thought it. He just, I know they didn't offer a lot going forward, but he mopped up everything with Clark, and they looked brilliant. There's a little partnership, little massive partnership that we had to put together. And get that deal signed, Johnny. Get it signed. You know, Adam, I won't call you too old. I think you're brilliant. Get that deal signed.
We need two big signings. We need Carrick, and we need Johnny Howson tying down.
Yes,
I agree.
Okay. I had Isaiah Jones to that list as well. Goes into the last year of his contract, Isaiah Jones, as does McGree. So a big summer ahead. But if, I tell you what, if we could get Carrick tied down, as you say, Howson, McGree, which is going to be a difficult ask, I think, in Isaiah Jones, that would be a hell of a start of the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to put another positive on yesterday's result as well, we are now mathematically safe from relegation. There you go.
Unlike Sunderland.
Unlike Sunderland. How did they get on yesterday?
Was it 4-5 or something? Was it 5? They got battered, apparently.
Yeah, I think it was a 6-goal thriller.
Yeah. It was a very, very uneven swing. I mean, yeah, people say our season, you know, might have been over, but their season is over. Their season's done. You know, they're finished. Couldn't have happened to a nicer club.
I tell you what, they're lucky they didn't sack Tony Mowbray any earlier, because they would have been in a right mess.
Yeah. I know. Exactly. But yes, know your place, Mackens. Know your place. So
I really do hope that's helping his recovery. You know, the fact that Sunderland are doing badly after they were harsh to him.
Well, I'm sure his son will be reminding his dad of how bad they've done since he left. So
exactly. So, you know, and while we're at it, you know, we all still hope that he's recovering well, and he'll be, you know, we all know he'll be back next season for Burnley as well.
100%. So, real legend of this football club.
Absolutely, and. You know, if we don't manage to do something really special by the end of the season, I'm looking forward to seeing the next season in the opposition dugout. So, right, before we go, because we've rabbited on way too long again, as per, we'll preview Swansea, because we've got something, let's say it's the last collection of the year, John Don, for the food bank.
Yeah, so, that's right.
To get people's donations in, and I'll hand over to you to give it a little plug.
Well, to be fair, I'm going to hand over to Dicko, because obviously he is going to be presenting on Saturday the money raised from the prize draw that Dicko organised and ran. So over to you, Dicko.
Yeah, listen, the food bank have got the funds off the draw now. They're over the moon. They're delighted with what they got. They couldn't thank we enough. So on Saturday before the game, we're going to go across to the food bank and get a few photo opportunities. And the two winners are going to get emails. If they're listening tonight, you'll get an email inviting you to come across and get your photographs taken with the representatives from the food bank, just as a thank you.
Just in case you're listening, Steve, that was Louise Donaldson, and who was the other one? Can you remember?
Off the top of my head, Lewis, I can't know.
Lewis. Morris.
I can't think. Yes, well done.
Lewis Morris.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
So if you're listening, just check your emails. Keep checking your emails.
Yeah. We'll get you an email. Like to get you there. Thank you for, you know, putting your money in and get a photo opportunity with yous. But also, as I say, it's another opportunity for Middlesbrough Football Club to put some money into the food bank again. This will be the last one, I think, this season, John. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't think there's another one planned.
To give last donations of the season to the food bank. Should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So if people are coming to the game, I know it's probably difficult for you to bring bags of food. But there's a lot of people that do so that's always gratefully accepted. But we're getting more and more cash donations now, which is fantastic, because the food bank then use it at special rates to get stock for their warehouse to give out to the families who need to use the food bank to survive. So I hope to see as many as possible on Saturday. The last one of the season, from 12 o'clock to kick off. The van will be at the back of the North Stand, just near the North Stand ticket office. So please pop along. If you don't carry a bag of food, you can easily drop some money in the collection boxes and buckets, or you can donate £5 by text, and I'll put all the details on Twitter.
I'll just say there, John, for you can text MSF to 70560 to donate £5. So
yeah,
you can do it by text. So it's text MSF to 70560 if that's easier to donate.
Yeah, cheers.
It was just like watching Terry Wogan at Comic Relief or Lenny Henry there.
Yes, if you can, you know, any donation is gratefully received. But it's last 3 o'clock Saturday of the season at the Riverside. The other two have moved. One for Sky, one for obviously for the last game of the season. But it's a big one Saturday. Like you said, you know, you brought into the conversation, you know, if Ipswich can do a job on Norwich, because Ipswich are absolutely flying at the moment. I mean, I'll just put a little hint in there. I didn't say they would be up there all season. So they are flying. They should beat Norwich Saturday. But, you know, it's a derby. You don't know what's going to happen. But if we can get a result off the back of them getting beat, but then whispers start becoming a little bit louder.
Well, they definitely do. I alluded to it earlier that this pod will be, and I think the general feeling amongst fans will be completely different this next Monday. If it's a big if, because it's a derby game. Norwich are no mugs at home either. But if Ipswich can turn Norwich over, and if we can do out what we know we can do against Swansea, why not? We've got a long way to go. We're going to need to go on a mad run till the end of the season. But I keep thinking that it's completely the opposite of last season. Last season, we went into the playoffs stuttering. Where now we're 6 unbeaten now. We've got still a few games to go. You just never know with this football club. I keep saying it every week. You never know. So it's all about getting 3 points and keeping pressure on the teams above us. But let's hope we can do that.
Well, you know, I mean, you mentioned there about, you know, teams stuttering into the play, which we did last year. There's no getting around it. Just have a look at Southampton. If Southampton want to take any warnings, because they're in that place now, they're not going to catch the top three. The teams below them won't catch them now. They're settled in that little playoff spot. They could do exactly the same as we did, and they could start stuttering really quickly. But, I mean, I've just had a look at the fixtures for Saturday. Obviously, we've got Swansea at home, Norwich have got Ipswich. Hull go to Cardiff, Preston go to Watford. You know what I mean? And then and Coventry, where are Coventry? Coventry have got Leeds.
Oh, West Brom.
Bear with me. West Brom have got Stoke away. And they're starting
to. I personally think it's pie in the sky. I think the games are running out and we've got too much to do. But what I would really love is, though, Middlesbrough, just to keep the run going, And I would love when we play Leeds under the lights on a Monday night that Middlesbrough still are mathematically in with a chance, because I think that would be a cracker if Leeds need to win, you know, to try and get automatic promotion. Middlesbrough still mathematically can make the playoffs. It would just make that game so much bigger. So for me, if we can just beat Swansea and just keep plugging away at the Leeds game, and what it'll be, but, you know, I personally think we've got too much to do in terms of making that gap up.
One game at a time and just see what happens.
Could be an absolutely huge game now. If we keep going on this run until we play Leeds and they're still with a chance of top two, which there will be, that atmosphere is going to be absolutely electric that night. I just hope we can do it, because it'd be a great occasion now.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned there, obviously, pie in the sky. I get that. The only reason I mentioned all them games, because all them teams, they're all playing each other and they're all around us. Every single one of them, apart from Stoke. They say Coventry and Leeds, obviously, in the promotion race. Preston, Watford, both in the promotion race. Everybody, it's just that weekend where everybody happens to play each other. If we can just take advantage one way or the other, you don't know. I mean, I still think there'll be a bit too much, but, you know, if you can get more bums on seats before the Leeds game, that'd be mega.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing better than a game under the lights against them that's down the road, because they'll be bringing full lot. You know, they've probably sold their allocation out already, to be quite honest. You know, they always do. It'd be mega. It'd be massive. It'd be a great night to the Riverside. We'll have the place bouncing. And let's say we'll put one game at a time. One game at a time. And that game, obviously, Saturday, is Swansea. And I'll start with you, John Don. Before I do, Dally's popped in and messaged me and said, 1-1, latte la. Over to you, John Don.
2-0. Lewis O'Brien.
I think Lath's been scoring goals. Another one got took off from the other day, but I'm going to go for Lath 4-1.
He goes home and he brings out the ball generator again. Okay, 4-1, Lath here, Lath. Dicko?
I'll go same as Saturday. Monday. I'll go Isaiah Jones 2-0.
Someone had to say it. I'll go 2-1 and Swansea will score. Not bad team, Swansea. And I'll go Johnny Elson to get a goal. I think Johnny Elson will score. Yeah, I think he's due a goal. He pops up every now and then, doesn't he, in bags of goals. So he's due a goal Saturday. So that's
my may take the penalty off Greenwood.
I'll put the penalty off Greenwood. But yeah, there you go. You know, keep the guesses coming in. Yeah, I know Bandy's got another drawing coming out very soon. He's sketching away. He'll no doubt have another printer send off for someone. So yeah, keep them coming in. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it, isn't it? All done. Any other business from you three before I let John go and put the rest of his outfit on.
I'll send you the picture, Steve. Don't worry.
Lovely. I don't need to pay a $4.99 subscription fee. I get it for free. Right.
John. John, have you got an OnlyFans page?
I might start one the way you three are going on. I've never felt so loved in my life.
Johnny Housecoat.
Yeah, I know you mentioned Violet Housecoat. It's definitely Johnny Housecoat, this one's been called.
I tell you what, put your sizes in the group chat. I'll fetch his old one on Saturday.
Yeah, boy. I'll look great after 10 pints wearing one of them, won't I? But yes.
They come in different colours, John.
Well, I was thinking pink for you, John.
That'll be fine. I'm okay with that. I'm comfortable in pink.
Is that with hood or without hood?
Hurry up and end this show, will you, for God's sake?
Oh, God. What a way to end. So, yes, that'll do. Brilliant. All yous at home, they say no one's with me this tonight. Thank you very much for popping on. Always a pleasure. Never a chore. people for joining and getting in touch. Thank you so much. Kath, I hope your house coat is keeping you warm. Kutz is keeping himself warm with this. If you want to collab, feel free. Let us know the results. And yeah, we'll have a chat next week. Well, I'll see you all, you lads, on Saturday. But if you want to come and support the food bank, 12 o'clock outside the North Stand ticket office. And yeah, thank you very much for liking, subscribing, commenting, getting in touch. And I'll leave it there. Thank you very much. See you later. Arrivederci. Up the Borough.
Up the Borough.
Up the Borough.
Come on, boys.
Thank you for listening to the 12th Man podcast. Hope to see you all again next week. Up the Borough.